Good morning. Good morning. Thank you for each one for making the effort to come out this morning. Maybe we'll just ask for God's help. Father, we come in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are thankful for the salvation that was provided through him. And Father, as we open the written word of God here this morning, we pray that it would speak to our hearts through thy Spirit, and it would find a place with the needs of each one here this morning. We pray for help. We know that we need you in our daily lives. We need you every moment. And Father, we are relying on your help here this morning to convey this message. And so, Father, I just pray these things in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to read a few passages starting. If you have a Bible, you can turn to Psalm chapter 10. We're going to read the first six verses of Psalm chapter 10. It's a Psalm of David, and it says in my Bible, David complains to God of the pride of the wicked. Verse 1, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble? The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He hath said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. Book of Proverbs, chapter 11. I'm going to read just a few passages in Proverbs. The first, just one verse in Proverbs, chapter 11, and verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. A couple pages over, Proverbs chapter 16. I'm going to read two verses, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 through 20. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. Proverbs chapter 29. I'm sure by now you've seen a little bit of a common thread, a word that we're going to speak about here, and it's the idea of pride. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. In the Old Testament, again, we're going to read one more passage in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 16. Speaking of Lucifer, the fallen angel, Satan. And the question is asked, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God, or the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake the kingdoms? So it's quite a downward decline of the one who is the prince of the power of the air today. One final reading in the book of James, chapter 4. James, chapter 4. We're going to read just four verses there. James, chapter 4, verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hand, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. We'll end our reading there. World peace, our economy, world hunger, poverty, all big problems. Maybe not so much in our comfortable little island, but speaking of the world in general, these are some big national, international problems. But I think there's a bigger problem when it comes to individuals, when we single people out one by one. And I think it's a problem of being proud. Now, we need to make a distinction this morning about what the Bible refers to as being proud and what we may understand as being proud. I was proud sitting down there this morning when my wife was playing the piano and Jesse was playing the violin. I had a sense of pride. There's nothing wrong with that. That's being proud of what they can do with their talents. I seen this morning in the breaking of bread two little individuals in the Canfield family, and I seen them run over to Grant, and Grant's face look up. He's a proud grandfather. There's nothing wrong with that. That's things that we're proud of, our heritage. I know someone that is very proud to be a Canadian. There's nothing wrong with that. The biblical distinction we want to talk about this morning is that something that is inside of us that maybe keeps us from fellowship with God or keeps maybe someone here this morning from salvation. Although, I guess I want to start with this. We're going to have kind of three simple topics here. The first one is defining pride in its relationship to God. Pride in its relationship to salvation and humility in its relationship to the Christian life. So three general topics. But here's a test to see if you have what we spoke about in these verses, this idea of pride. Here's a test. The first thing. Are you irritated when corrected? There's one that we can all maybe relate to. Are you irritated when you're wrong and someone corrects you? Are you irritated? Do you accept praise for those things that are out of your control? Being your talents, your gifts that are God-given? And do you accept praise for that? We know from in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, we've received nothing. Everything we have is from God. But do you receive praise and you take it and you get puffed up when you have some ability, some natural ability that God has given you, and you become proud of that ability when it was given from God? Are you hard to admit that you've made a mistake? Do you refuse to take good, sound counsel from maybe a brother or a sister? Do you want more than what your neighbor has? A sense of acquiring things in a materialistic world. It's been said the problem with ruin, spiritual ruin, sometimes is the idea of this. Your neighbor keeps buying things that you want. And so, you know, the idea of being is that you tend to compare yourself to what your neighbor has, and sometimes it brings people into financial ruin because of what your neighbor has bought. These are tests of whether you have that problem of pride in your life. It's an attitude of independence from God. It's a spirit of ungratefulness to God, and it's esteeming yourself maybe better than others. So by definition, what is pride? Well, it's boastfulness, vaunting. It's translated vain glory. Puffed up. You could really say it's just self-sufficiency. Self-sufficiency. So as we go through some of the verses that we've read and also talked about, we're going to talk about these things. I want to keep 5 points in mind of what pride can do in a life. Number one, it defies God. It defiles man. It divides society. It dishonors life. And ultimately, it destroys souls. Pride. The psalmist would say, as we read this morning, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Maybe God is in your thoughts only when tragedy strikes. A man's character is seen by what he says. The Word of God says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." What does God think of this type of person? What's God's estimation of the proud? Proverbs 6, verse 16 through 19 says, 6 things the Lord hates, 7 are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. It's the very first thing on God's dislike list, isn't it? Here in this verse. It's really what it is. It's a fist in the face of God. Pride. It's a fist in the face of God. It says, therefore, pride compasseth thee about as a chain. It enslaves you. It brings you into bondage. Violence covereth them as a garment. Pride can literally take over someone's life. You see, God isn't too fond of people that are proud. You've heard that adage that if you're eating an apple, what's worse than having a worm in your apple is finding out that you found half a worm in your apple, right? Because you've eaten the other half. But there's an interesting concept about where pride comes from. And when you see an apple that has a worm hole in it, I read this, and I believe it to be true, is actually the worm, the egg was hatched in the blossom before the apple was formed. And the apple forms around the worm, and the worm grows inside the apple, and the actual truth is the worm comes from the inside out. That's what pride is. It's within you because of the fall of man. Pride doesn't come from the outside in. It's from the inside out. In the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve were tempted in the garden, and they were told not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, do you actually think that it was that particular fruit? The garden was full of fruit. There were many trees that had fruit on them. The real temptation wasn't the piece of fruit. The temptation was this. What did Satan say in conjunction with that tree? He said, if you take of the fruit, you'll be as God. And it was an aspiration for Adam and Eve that they would be like God. They want to esteem themselves like God. It was pride. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. God is opposed to the proud. God actually, it says in our readings this morning, resisteth the proud. What is something that is resisting? If I push on something, the resistance is something that pushes back. Actually, what the psalmist is saying is, God pushes back. He's not interested in someone that is proud. He resists them. He pushes back on them. Although there are many hindrances to man to stumble from accepting the truth of the gospel in reference to salvation, primarily it's this: pride. We live in a postmodern era, and if you go onto the campuses of our universities today, through Canada and the U.S., and you preach on a soapbox the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what you will come up against? People that resist the message of the gospel. They have some form of I religion. I believe. And see, that's nothing new. Satan fell because he said, I. And there's a day coming, and it's going to come to Prince Edward Island, when this type of forum, people will be opposed to it. There's police officers in our free country that will shut down people preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because they're proud. They have their own ideas. And we live in a society, generally speaking, that is biblically illiterate. They have no foundation. We want to take advantage of this morning. We have the liberty to preach, not the I syndrome, but Jesus Christ and Him alone. Look what I have. Maybe there's different forms of pride. Maybe it's your form of religion. In the Gospels, there was a group called the Pharisees, and they liked to sit in the high places and to exalt themselves. And we read of the story of the Pharisee and the publican. And the publican was a tax collector in those days, and he was the IRS. He was despised. And when the gospel was presented to both of those people, the Pharisee, what did he do? He says, I'm proud that I'm not like that man. And the publican didn't even look up. He wasn't thinking of anything but his plight before God. And he looked down and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Do you think there was much pride? The psalmist said this: he has said in his heart, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. And you know, we talk about the dark place, the world that we live in, but you know what? Satan has people duped into believing that everything is great. And we're sheltered in this little island because you know what? Everyone here is going to go home to a meal. Everyone has a home. And you've got it pretty good. And that's the ploy of Satan. We have it so good in materialistic things that we think we're self-sufficient and we have no thought of God. Maybe that's you here this morning. You've got it together. You've got things going on. You've got the finances going on. You've got the family. You've got people that like you and want to be around you. You're pretty self-sufficient. You're proud. You're proud. And if you're not saved here this morning and you have that problem of self-sufficiency where you do not need God, you don't need to pray to Him, you got it together, I want to tell you this morning, you're bankrupt. You have nothing. Because it says this world will pass away, and after death, judgment. Everything that you have, you receive from God. The very breath that you breathe this morning is from God. Pride consists of an unduly exalted opinion of oneself. It is therefore impatient of a rival, hates a superior, and cannot endure a master. This I say therefore. In Ephesians it says this. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Does this describe you this morning? Well, you were 4 years old and you accepted Jesus into your heart. You don't really remember the circumstances. You don't really remember anything about it, but you were told that. I'll tell you what, salvation is repentance and faith. Have you turned from your sin? Have you said, you know what? I can't do it. I am done. Has that ever happened in your life? Have you ever been there? Throw I away. I'm done. Without Him, I have no hope. Without the fact that Jesus Christ is my Savior, I have no hope. Salvation is repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. There was an open-air meeting. A guy was preaching, and he posed four questions to an individual. He said, have you ever stolen anything? The guy says, yeah, well, I did a few times in my life, but I'm a pretty good person. So if you stole something, what does that make you? A thief. He said, did you ever lie? Well, I did lie a few times. That makes you a thief and a liar. He says, well, have you ever looked on a woman to lust after her? He said, well, yeah, I have done that. He says, that makes you an adulterer. He says, have you ever used the Lord's name in vain? Ever in your life's history, have you ever used the Lord's name in vain? He said, well, yeah, I've done that on occasion. He says, it makes you a blasphemer. You've broken four laws of God. Now I'm going to put you to the court. In God's court, are you guilty or innocent? What would God do with that individual? According to the laws of God, you've broken four laws. What will He do? He's a just God. This Lord, he can't just wipe them away. You're guilty. And the reality is, salvation is like this. Someone came in and paid the penalty for all those things. He didn't wipe them away. There was payment made so that you could be free. You see, the law only exposes that you're a sinner. And salvation is all of grace. For all that is in the world, the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. And the world passeth away, and the lusts thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The unsaved are heading away from the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved here this morning, you're opposed to God. I wish I could tell you that truth as plainly as I can this morning. If you're still in your sins, if you're still self-sufficient, you're separated from God. And you may not think there's any consequences to that. You will carry on this afternoon with everything that you planned. But there's a day coming when you will have to answer to the righteous judge of all the earth. Listen carefully, young people. Listen carefully. Don't go on the coattails of some flimsical profession that absolutely means nothing. Have you repented? Have you been broken? Have you felt like nothing under the judgment of God? Has that happened to you? But I guarantee you, if that has happened to you, if you do that today, and you just look to the one who can save you, it's a look. It's a turning towards the Savior. That's salvation. Make sure today. I hope I've been clear. We want to end with humility and its relation to the Christian life. Can we as Christians have a problem with pride? Absolutely. Can we slip back into this materialistic world and desire things that have no significance? You know what? As I was preparing this message, I thought of a letter that was read at our Bible study. He's not here, so I can use his name, Wade LeBlanc. I think he has a heart for the gospel. I believe that man is driven to see souls saved. And I'm not saying we're all going to be like Wade LeBlanc, but I'll tell you what, it spoke to me. The man went to Ghana, and he preached the gospel to people that wanted to hear. And my understanding is that 1,800 people, through the course of his time there, professed salvation in Jesus Christ. I don't know how many of them are real, but it seems to me that it's a very open door. And he came back, and he was wasted, mentally, physically, spiritually. I wonder, and I know he's human, and I can't speak on behalf of his heart, but he doesn't appear to me to be a very materialistic guy. He doesn't appear to me, as a Christian, to be concerned about this world's goods. How about you? Where are you in your Christian life? Is material things important to you? Is it important to me? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's a commandment that we can all take a little piece of, can't we? This platform ministry is just one of thousands of ways we can reach the lost. You answer the question. When is the last time you put away I and the things that you wanted to do? Let me ask this even more specifically. When is the last time you witnessed to someone about your Savior? Pretty probing questions. You know what? I ask myself. What distinguishes you from your neighbor? He's got a nice car.
You've got a nicer car. He's got X number of dollars in the bank and securities for investments. So do you. I'm not telling you to sell all and go to the mission field. But you know what? We live in a very I-centered world, don't we? Christians, we need to redeem the time. How does being centered on I affect our meeting here? We have our own agendas. Last Sunday night, Bob McGregor spoke from this platform, and you know what I got out of that message? We need the Word of God. We need to be into it because it teaches us about how to live sacrificial lives. Not for I, but for Him. Read your Bible. James chapter 4, verse 7 reads this. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. You see that passage I read in Isaiah about Lucifer, the fallen angel? It was a prophetic one, speaking of his demise. And there's a day coming when the one who is the prince of the power of the air, our enemy, our arch enemy in this world, will be brought down to the very lowest, so low that we won't even recognize who he is. We have a victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. Are we living in light of the victory that we have? Satan has no rule on our lives. Only when we allow him to. Only when we put I on the throne. Submit yourselves to get back to who rules your life. Resist the devil. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It doesn't mean to underestimate him. It just means that we are above him. We have God the Spirit in us. Draw nigh in prayer. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. Stop sinning physically and start examining your motives. Turn off the TV. Turn off the TV when there's foul language. Purify your hearts. Christians, we don't need I on the throne. We don't need to satisfy the lusts of this old flesh. Let's face it, there's programs that are getting more vile. A brother shared with me this morning, there's a program now called Lucifer. Cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. Lament and mourn. You know what? Repentance isn't only for the lost. It's for the Christian. We are saved eternally. But when's the last time you repented of a sin in your life? Humble yourself. There's the last point I want to make with you this morning. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. Our greatest example of that was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Though he's God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, put upon himself, the form of a servant was made. I'm going to read. I'm sorry, I'm misquoting that. Ephesians chapter 2. Sorry, Philippians, my mistake. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There's our example. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, the highest position in the universe. You know, it's often been said that we are sinners saved by grace, and that is true. But we are also made the righteousness of God in him. He was highly exalted. He became and did the thing, the form of a servant. He went to death for us. Our greatest example of humility. If you're not saved here this morning, I plead with you. I'm no big preacher, but I plead with you this morning to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. It is a transforming event. It will change you for all eternity. It happens in a moment of time. It's no process. Although the Spirit of God may work in bringing you to that point, but it happens instantaneously. And it changes you from the inside out. You'll have a different outlook. If you're trying to be a Christian, good luck. You will fall. You will never make it. God needs to change you. And when he changes you, I guarantee you, on the authority of this book, you will be changed forever. You will get a desire to serve him. You know why? Because he bled and died for you. That will be it. Not because of what you've done, but because of what he's done. And I look forward to the day when I'll get rid of this old nature, because it's a battle. And I'll be made like unto the Son of God, and I'll be with him. Can you claim that this morning, that you will be with him? I can't wait. It might be today. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank thee for thy word. We thank thee that it speaks to us of the things of eternity. It speaks of us of the problems that we have maybe in our Christian lives about putting ourselves on the throne. It speaks of salvation. It speaks of the hindrances to salvation. So, Father, I just thank thee for your word. I pray that you'll use what I said that is right to speak to hearts. Forgive my lack of organization maybe this morning, but Father, I just pray that you'll speak to hearts. And Father, may we draw nigh to God. May we take out the things that are materialistic in our lives. And Father, may we tell others of the Lord Jesus and the great salvation that he can provide. So we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.